everybody. Happy summer. First day of summer, longest day of the year, longest amount of daylight today. Ray Allen is with me, Bill Buckmaster. Ray is engineering and producing the show. Together, we hope your week has gone well. We are at the midway point. It is June 21st, 2017. Got an interesting discussion going over on my Facebook page about climate change. You might want to take a look at that. Seems like everybody has an opinion on that. And it's a very appropriate time to even be talking about it, I guess, as we expected to push through about 115, which would make three straight days, and that would be a record in itself. Over 115 degrees. The Buckmaster Show is on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. We're live streaming at buckmastershow.com. And if it's any consolation, it's hot in a lot of other places. A pilot friend has just touched down with his big 787 in London. And on Facebook, he was saying, guess what? In London, it's 90 degrees. So, you know, not too bad here because the humidity hasn't really cranked up. Let's go now on the live line to Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham. Councilman, how are you?
Very well. How are we doing, Bill?
We're doing real well. Some are saying the Tucson City Council has no business even talking about climate change. And I think there was a study session yesterday, wasn't there, on the topic?
Yes.
And what
yes,
came?
Was.
Yeah, what was that all about?
Well, the biggest thing we've got to talk about, and again, we're talking about climate change. Just everybody's going to talk about climate change because we're in the middle of a heat wave. It's hard to avoid those discussions. Some people have spent years just completely dismissing it, and that may be as of right now. There's no credible science that that I have found that can just wistfully say, well, there's no such thing. Whether it is the heating up of the sun or whether it's man-made is another discussion. But record temperatures over the past 10 years and the median warming of the earth, you can't really deny that part. You can deny whether or not it's man-made. I would say that there's a lot to the idea that it's man-made, but again, there's other people who don't. That being said, why is it important for the city council to discuss? Well, I look at it twofold. One is, I really want to be prepared in the advent of a power outage in a situation where we are at 100 degree heat, where people can be transported for safe zones, what kind of cooling zones we can set up in the community, where there are self-contained buildings that have their own power supply so their air conditioning can keep running or their cooling system can keep running or get people to the state with water. I mean, these are actual practical things that the city council should be concerned about. We've had heat waves in cities around the country over the years at various times, and people die. It's nothing to be trifled with, and I think it's important that we discuss from a city council standpoint. I'm glad that the
Paul, your cell is kind of cutting in and out on us. How far away are you, by the way, from the station?
I am now at Alvernon and 22nd, speaking to you on a hands-free device.
Okay, good. Well, it kind of cut in there, cut in and out. Going back to your thoughts, so you're saying really there are some concrete steps that can be taken very right now?
Right, as far as emergency preparedness. I mean, look, the city of Tucson isn't going to stop the earth from heating with a few bold moves. That isn't. Let's be realistic. But let's also talk about how prepared we are with this phenomenon of the earth heating up. Because that is sensibly what's happening, what the data tells us. And that's not, millions of year data that people have trouble grasping. No, I agree with it. I'm talking about just weathermen over the last 30 years tracking what the Earth's temperature is. That's fact. It's gone up 2 or 3 times. So we have to figure out a way, and that means something. It doesn't sound like it does, but when you go from 115 to 120, or you go from 105 to 108, you've got some issues. You do risk health issues and emergencies, especially in the events of power outages or other phenomenon that can happen. So that's why I think it's good for the city council to have the discussion. And I think it's important that we are prepared when we have heat waves like this. But look, we're going to hit 115, third day in a row. What if we had a power outage?
That worries me a lot.
So that's why it's important to talk about it. And so that's where my discussion point is I know that people have strong views either way about global warming or climate change, or people try to frame it different ways. Some people say it's not man-made. Some people isn't man-made. But let's start with, can you at least acknowledge that it exists?
How many
temperatures higher 30 years ago than it is now? That's my first question.
How many swimming pools are open for the kids right now, city pools?
Well, there are 17 pools open this year. That's an increase of 2 from last year. We're planning on getting to 19 next year. The pools this year for kids are free. I'm happy to say that was something that I pushed for, and I'm proud of it. And I think it's a great service that the city is able to provide. We're going to hopefully see some aquatic enhancements over the next 2 or 3 budget cycles.
I mean, when you do have this kind of heat, it really, it's serious stuff. And let's not forget that a lot of our older homes here in Tucson, as you know, Paul Cunningham, you grew up here in Tucson, there's still about 15, maybe as many as 20% of our homes now are relying strictly on evaporative cooling. And when you get it, when you get into that 115 and above, even actually 110, you can't expect a swamp cooler to knock down more than about 25 degrees, correct?
Right. So the danger becomes this. The best you're going to get out of evaporative in optimal conditions, and that means that we have less than 5% humidity.
Right.
You have to have less than 5% humidity. And then... So say we have one, the best you're going to get is about 18 degrees.
Yes.
And then you're going to get another 2 or 3 out in the shade.
Right.
That's kind of how all that works. That's the guessing. And, you know, again, I researched this because anticipating this discussion today, and there's other websites that give you a variance, but I'm just trying to give some generalized numbers. The best you're going to do is, yeah, about 22, 23 degrees. So let's say, God forbid, we have a situation where we hit 123 and the humidity is over 10%.
Right.
You're not going to get your 23 degrees. So now people are existing in an environment, even inside, indoors, where the temperature is higher than the human body temperature.
Yeah.
That is a situation that can risk health problems. That is a situation... that can compromise survivability depending on person's hydration level. And that's dangerous stuff.
No, it is. And 120 really isn't, it used to be something we thought, oh my goodness, it can't happen here in Tucson. But our friend Jimmy Stewart, the retired Channel 4 weatherman, has really professional equipment at his home. And he was saying on Facebook yesterday that he hit 120 degrees at his home station at about 3:30 in the afternoon. So, I mean, that... The reality is 120 is not something out of science fiction in Tucson, Arizona, Paul Cunningham.
Well, I do want to point this out because it's something that I do, as people who know me know I was going to point this out today. We still run between 5 and 12 degrees lower than Phoenix. And I just want everybody to realize Phoenix had areas yesterday at 123, 124. I mean, it was basically just unbearably dangerous.
Yeah.
And so I like to brag that we're not Phoenix. We don't run at that temperature. We did not have to shut down our airport. I think we canceled a few flights voluntarily, but we didn't have to, and I'm proud of those things. So that's kind of, I like to say that, but yes, it was a very serious thing, and
we cannot continue to risk ourselves. And if there are people that say there's a way to slow down the warming of the globe, or there's a way to drop the temperature in Tucson, then I'm going to listen and try to figure out if any of those solutions have merit.
All right, we're going to take our break right here. Paul Cunningham sticks around for another segment, 790-2040. If you'd like to join in this discussion, we'll be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. The excitement is building for the grand opening in 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive.
Summer reading is free and fun at the Pima County Public Library. Visit library.pima.gov to find your next favorite book and browse hundreds of activities and special events just for kids now through July 15th. Dream big this summer. Visit your local library or library.pima.gov to find out how.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Thursday at noon, the Arizona Department of Transportation lays out their plans for the next 5 years. What roads are slated to get their attention? We'll tell you about it on Buckmaster. The program airs on AM 1030 KVOI. We have our worldwide live listening podcasts and the show archive on my website, buckmastershow.com. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by Green Things, 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, greenthingsaz.com. And of course, if you're into gardening like I am, I was out there at 5:45 this morning out back, watering, making sure all the pots, the plants in the pots have lots of water. And I'll be out there again probably about 6 o'clock. And the Green Things people want to remind everybody, this kind of heat, you really do need twice a day watering. So check out greenthingsaz.com. Paul Cunningham, Tucson City Councilman, with me now in studio. Is there going to be a bus strike, Councilman?
I certainly hope not.
What's the deadline? The end of the month?
Yes, the end of the month.
Didn't there's... we had a strike last year?
Right.
Yeah.
2 years ago. Yeah, 18 months ago. Yeah.
Okay.
Look. So a couple things. One, I hope we can avoid the strike. Two, there's some moving parts there with transdev, and we may be transitioning out of transdev managing our bus system. And so if that happens, that'll kind of change the dynamic of the discussion. But I don't think it's really in the best interest of the Teamsters to strike this time. You know, this would be their third time in about 6 years striking. And to me, that's indicative of a system that's flawed if we're having a bus strike. And the crazy thing is, the last time this strike happened, I went and looked up how many times the bus drivers have had a strike. And it's funny. It actually happens a lot more often than you'd think, and it's something that we can't really afford. It kind of holds the city hostage. If they strike this time, then we probably need to take a look at the system as a whole and figure out just a different way, because it's just not acceptable.
Not sustainable.
No, yeah. You can't. We can't have a situation where every single time – look, the bus drivers got raises on occasions when none of the other city employees did. We've definitely tried to work in good faith with them. I know I have. And the idea that they may go back out again to me is just – I can't even fathom why they would think that that's a good idea. They're not going to have anybody on their side. But at the same time, I'm not going to cave to them if they make a demand again.
You're going to really play hard line this time.
Well, I mean, we'll have to come up with some plans and some alternative contractors, and I'm willing to go to the mattresses to do that, but I'm not going to be very happy if they strike.
We don't have enough parks in this town, do we?
Well, we do have enough. It's a matter of park acres. It's a matter of cultivated park acres. It's a matter of count the linear park involved. But the biggest thing that we have is we have parks that are old. We have parks that just need to be completely redone. And you really can't do that with certain funding resources because they are encumbered by laws and other things. So recently we cobbled together with some private donations with some We cobbled together some impact fees. We took care of some excess budget, and we put together a package to make an investment into one of our parks that hasn't had an investment in a long time.
Which one is that?
That's Jesse Owens Park on the east side. It's also known as Pantano Park if you grew up in Tucson in the 60s. But it's Jesse Owens Park. Believe it or not, Mr. Owens actually died in Tucson in 1980.
I had heard that.
And he still has family here.
Really?
And I'm pretty excited. It looks like we're going to be able to replace the irrigation systems. We're going to expand the parking. I think we're going to be able to have the pool open next summer. We're doing a number of things to that park, including resurfacing the basketball court. I've spoken with Jesse Owens' daughter, who has volunteered to have the family represented when we cut the ribbon. And I'm really proud of it. It's a $2 million investment into the east side. It's a long time coming, and I'm happy of the work of my office that was able to make that work.
Everybody's talking about roads. The city did get that road program passed.
Yes, it was a good we were able to get a two-to-one ratio on people supporting the continuation of improving roads. Remember, 10 years ago, it was a dire situation. We had a situation where roads were just
it looked like a third-world country.
Yes, it was just awful. And just to catch up was going to be a Herculean task. That first – set of monies, helped us catch up. Partially, we actually had money left over. We were able to do more than we said we were able to do, and I think that's going to be the case here. We're going to be able to take care of some of those side streets, some of the corridors, even on and then some of the other projects. We're trying to move them along faster. There's a project on the east side, East Broadway from Houghton to Camino Seco, and we've moved that one up on the timetable. They're starting to move the utilities, so we're really happy with that, and we're going to continue to work on that.
Broadway?
Well, the Broadway winding plan that goes into downtown, I'm happy. It's moving forward, but I really want to see that Broadway East piece get started as soon as possible. That's more my priority as the East Side representative, and that's the priority for my constituents.
All right, let's go to the live line, 790-2040. Robert has called us. Go ahead, Robert.
Yes, Paul. This is Robert, and I live in that Jesse Owens neighborhood directly across from the park. You helped me out on that car wash art, if that's what we want to call it. One thing about the Jesse Owen pool is there's absolutely no cover whatsoever. The whole plat is exposed. So if you have any say about a little shade or umbrellas or, and that does come to into development, because we wouldn't go even when it was open. It was just too exposed. And that's all. That's my only comment. I appreciate your help.
Robert, you're a great East Sider, and I remember the car wash art thing. Anyway, actually, that's a really good point. And I don't want to say too much too early, but as we go forward with you're going to see some aquatics augmentations around the city to improve that aquatic center experience, allowing one of the things we didn't do is we don't allow food in. So you can't even bring your like water or your ice chest with some sodas or something for the kids. The other thing I'd like to see us do is have an easy up program or a cabana program where we don't have shade in certain areas. We can tie them to the fences and put watered weights on them so that we can actually have those available to different people who come in. And so, yeah, that is actually completely part of the discussion. I don't know if Jesse Owens is going to get that. I think my focus for that piece and those augmentations are going to be on Palo Verde Pool first next year, but I at least want to get Jesse Owens open and then maybe the following summer. And I know it's a slow process, but we literally have to walk before we swim. And we'll try to get it done by the numbers. We'll try to be fair and equitable to the different facilities throughout Ward 2. But you bring up a very good point, and that's why, yeah, the shade piece or the cabana piece, basically putting in some easy ups or, you know, those $200 cabanas. And you can keep them up, and then you just replace the vinyl every year, which is only $75 or $80. Those cloth covers are only going to last about one summer, but that's a lot better than trying to build spending $180,000 on a Ramada and then having to maintain it and having to paint it every 3 years and all those other things. So that's kind of my thoughts on
how
that.
How did Jesse Owens' family wind up here? Jesse, of course, was an American hero, a track star at Ohio State University. My father, who was a track star, if you will, at Northwestern, actually ran against him in the 1930s, competed against him.
So I hate to be a one-upper on that
okay,
one.
Okay, please.
But so my dad was a cross-country runner at Catalina High School.
Okay.
And he is a proud booster of just country club and running in general. My mm-hmm. son is actually a half-miler and miler.
Okay.
And we have a distant relative, Glenn Cunningham, mm-hmm. who was in the 30s and 40s, in 20s and 30s. He was a well-known 4 mile runner. He was actually Jesse Owens' roommate.
Wow.
At the Berlin Olympics.
Wow.
And so that connection is there now. I don't know how close we are related to him, but that my father's father always told us we were related. Mm-hmm. And the story that I understand was Jesse Owens moved here for the dry heat.
Right.
He moved here
for
the dryness.
Okay.
And he had some respiratory diseases that encouraged that move. And so, yes, he kept a home here. He was very successful on and off the track in life. He was a very honorable person, and I think it would be a disservice to him and to his name if we can't get his get the park that's named after him, his namesake park in Tucson, in the best condition we can have it in.
All right, I've only got a minute left, so no emergency, anything out of the ordinary with the heat wave so far. I know you're keeping a tab on it.
I'm in contact with Chief Critchley pretty much every 24 hours, just checking in. We got a lot of elderly people on the east side, and that's the main thing. We want to make sure the power grid's up. We talked to the TEP people. They say we're stable. So those are all the pieces to it. But you never know when the bottom's going to fall out of the boat, and I think you'd be delinquent in your public service not to be ready. So we're going to be as ready as we can, and hopefully we'll get through this heat wave, and Tucson will be stronger on the back end.
All right, Paul Cunningham, thank you very much for coming in. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Bill.
Thanks a lot. We'll be right back.
Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Named after the classic New Orleans cocktail, Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See us soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Dive into the culture section with the latest on the arts. Book reviews from Rebecca Guthrie. What movies are hot or not from Bob Garber. Eric Peters brings his unique point of view with his auto reviews. Check out where you could vacation regardless of the season. It is culture news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Summer reading is free and fun at the Pima County Public Library. Visit library.pima.gov to find your next favorite book and browse hundreds of activities and special events just for kids now through July 15th. Dream big this summer. Visit your local library or library.pima.gov to find out how.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more.
craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This is National Pollinators Week, and in honor of the occasion, Tohono O'Chul Park is celebrating again with its second annual Adopt a Bee. I guess you could call it Michelle Armstrong. Good to see you, by the way.
Thank you.
A festival, kind of Adopt a Bee festival. Isn't that kind of what it's about?
Yeah, it spawned from the fact that every year we celebrate pollinators, and we've always done something for National Pollinator Week, but to do something different in terms of adopting a bee and getting people to know a little bit more about native bees specifically and how important they are and how different they are from honeybees.
What is all the buzz about? People do confuse, don't they?
Absolutely.
The different bees.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, when we go out to the community for outreach, we hear nothing but, I don't like bees. They're aggressive. They take over parts of my house on the outside. So it's a great opportunity to bridge the gap with education, which is important because it's part of our mission, to teach about native bees and the fact that they're solitary. They don't make hives. They don't live in hives. They don't get aggressive. They don't Africanize, and they don't produce honey. So they're very docile, and we rely on them heavily as pollinators for our food source, but even though we're at the gardens, for our gardens.
And the bee population, we've been hearing reports that it's been declining.
Mm-hmm. That's accurate, and that's okay. True. And there's a lot of, it's really interesting, an industry that grew was the pollination industry services. So people will go out and release thousands of bees into a field for the pollination services, and then I don't know how they get them back in, but then they go to another field to help continue that pollination process.
How do people support this Adopt a Bee? I mean, what levels can someone donate?
Well, we have four different bees. So the $5 bee is a cactus bee, and then we have the $20 Blue Mason Orchard, and a $55 leaf cutter, and then the $100 carpenter bee. And there's different perks for, you know, the different levels. But bare minimum, any bee adopter will receive an invite to our exclusive pollinator party on Friday.
What's going to happen at the party?
Well, we usually host it later in the evening, so it's 6 to 8 p.m. This year, we're actually hosting a Disney nature film afterwards, so that's at 8:15, called Wings of Life, and it's really interesting, and parts of it were actually filmed at Tohono O'Chul, so that's what helps make it a little bit more special. We have Steve Buckman, who's a local bee expert, who's going to be there to answer questions. Bee Nurseries, Three Wells Distillery is going to be doing cocktail samples. Dos Manos Apiaries is going to do a honey bar, so it's just a nice kind of thing to get out, even though it's hot, but to do something later in the summertime for Tucsonans who are still here.
You know, when the whole Africanized bee thing came along, I think that was like in the 90s, that was a pretty big deal here in Tucson, and people were very worried that the Africanized bees would really take over the whole bee population. Where are we in all that? I mean, how did it all, how did things finally get together and fold out?
Well, I will say people are still traumatized from it. Yeah. And I remember, you know, all the things that we heard in the summertime and what to do to protect yourself from, you know, the Africanized colonies and how to get away from them.
All bees aren't Africanized,
It only happens when they're in the hives together. And, you know, the native bees are predominantly solitary. And when I say predominantly, I mean out of the 1,000-plus species in the Tucson area and the southern Arizona area, you know, maybe only a handful live in little colonies. But what happens is people go out and they check on the hive. So we have two hives that are honey producing bees throughout our gardens that our crew goes out and periodically checks on them to make sure they're not Africanizing, because it can still happen. It's just a matter of making sure you are diligent and checking up on them. And then when you have maybe some attached to your house, having experts come out and relocate them. And then at that point they evaluate if it's an Africanized colony or, you know, it's just fine and it can be easily relocated.
Because right now on one of our giant saguaros, we have a huge group of bees that have found, I think a woodpecker may have lived there originally, and so they have taken over that. And it's really interesting to watch these busy little bees. In the morning, they're all taken off, and then about 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, they come back, and there's so many that they kind of go up the side of the cactus. So I can't really, you can't assume that those would be Africanized
Correct.
Bees. Right.
Yeah, I wouldn't make that assumption.
Right.
It's more their behavior and in the way they, if they're aggressive in that sense. It's kind of fun. Sometimes when you're in the gardens, you hear this hum.
Right.
And you look up and then you see the swarm go by, but it's this intense sound that you hear, and it's pretty impressive.
Michelle Armstrong is with us from Tohono O'Toole Park. And, of course, this time of year, as we kind of – I always think of kind of the first bloom of the Sirius. It's Peruvian Sirius, right?
Pineo Sirius greggii.
Okay. It's the kind of the a.k.a. queen of the night blooming for one night. And, of course, Tohono O'Toole has usually a big kind of – queen of the night party when that happens.
Mm-hmm.
What is the time frame, Michelle, that like earliest, latest on the queen of the night?
Now, since we cannot control when the mass blooming happens, it
right.
was a massive relief to know that it's not during our party this Friday.
Good.
But Lee's keeping an eye on it. The buds seem to still be in stall status, so it may be happening next week.
Hmm.
But when we host bloom night, it's always a surprise. You kind of get a 6 to 8 hour headwind. But it's 6 p.m. to midnight, and it's free for members. It's $5 for non-members, and it's free for children 12 and under, or excuse me, under 12. And it's just a really nice Tucson tradition. You get to come out. We highly suggest you bring flashlights and wear closed-toe shoes because you are out mm-hmm. in the desert in the dark at this point. But it's a really special Tucson tradition.
And how many queens of the night would you estimate that you have on your property at Tohono O'Toole?
I believe we have somewhere around 300 species. That doesn't mean they all bloom.
Uh-huh.
That doesn't mean they've made it from the season of pack rats. And or some have already bloomed. So it's
mm-hmm.
kind of Lee goes out there, who's the director of general services, and he monitors if how many he thinks would be that one night where they mass bloom. So
mm-hmm.
there's little offshoots that have already happened.
But it is kind of an interesting thing. Amazing to see so many blooming
mm-hmm.
at one time. And is that true that basically the flower then it's a one night only deal?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
it's a one night stand.
Yeah, it really is with the hawk moth that comes
yeah.
out specifically to pollinate it. There's other pollinators, but the hawk moth specifically pollinates the Pineo Sirius greggii. But the morning after, we open for members only early at 6:30, so they can see the last of the bloom as sunrise happens, and then it
very
fades.
Very nice. Let's talk a little bit about Tohono O'Toole, folks who may not know about it. Where are you located? Kind of nuts and bolts.
Yeah. Well, we're located at Iron and Oracle, and we're a nonprofit organization that was started in 1985 by Dick and Jean Wilson, and they gifted the land to create Tohono O'Toole. We also host two art galleries there, several museum shops, and the Garden Bistro, which is open for breakfast, lunch, and brunch daily.
Very good food there.
Yes,
it's great. The bistro.
And prickly pear mimosas, bottomless now, because it's so hot.
Yeah, I mean, this is, do you have special summer hours, Michelle?
Oh, not particularly.
Okay.
That's what's nice, but we do see more people coming in closer, you know, to the mm-hmm. earlier morning hours.
Okay, so let's go over again the event that's coming up on Friday night.
All right. Well, the pollinator party starts at 6 p.m., and you have to adopt a bee to go. You can adopt a bee at the door. They start at $5. You get several different perks for the different levels of adoption. We're going to have many vendors there. It was sponsored by Edible Baja Arizona, which is a great partner and sponsor of ours. And we will have lots of family-friendly things to do. So last year, we hosted a myriad of all ages. So even though there's cocktail samples, there's a film, there's a story time, and there's the opportunity just to kind of experience the gardens later than you normally get to since we close at 5.
Will there be honey?
Yes. Dos Manos is going to be there doing a regional honey bar. So you
kind of
get to taste
uh-huh.
different kinds of honey because it really does play or have an impression upon the honey that's produced is where it's come from.
And again, for folks who haven't been to Tohono O'Toole, the location?
Ina and Oracle. Mm-hmm.
And how many acres did you say?
49 acres, and it's a nature preserve.
Wow. I remember a long time ago there was a bookstore there.
Mm-hmm. The Haunted Bookshop.
Yeah, the Haunted mm-hmm. Bookshop.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it might have been part of the original building. I remember the
Bricks. Education Center now is
It is the Education
mm-hmm.
Center.
Because mm-hmm.
it seemed to be like part of the original property.
Yeah, and it's towards the edge of it.
Right,
so
right.
it's kind of one street in from, west of the intersection.
Uh-huh. That was a long time ago, but certainly now it's been incorporated into mm-hmm. your portfolio. Michelle Armstrong, always a pleasure, and good luck with Adopt a Bee this Friday night. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, coming up next on the Buckmaster Show, A-Rod is in the house, Alex Rodriguez, talking about high technology in Southern Arizona right after this. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion is presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's a beautiful area of the southwestern United States, and usually it's the case. The rains kind of come first, the early monsoon, over to that kind of borderland area of Arizona and New Mexico. They've had some pretty good rains over in Silver City already, so things greening up in the Gila National Wilderness. So it might be something to think about if you want to get away from the southern Arizona heat. Take a 3-hour drive up to the about 6,000 foot level up in Silver City in Grant County. Go to their website, southwestnewmexico.org. They have the full listing of the many things to do and great places to stay in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We welcome now on the Buckmaster Show a longtime friend of this program, Alex Rodriguez. Alex is Vice President of the Arizona Technology Council's Southern Arizona office. He's a former TUSD Governing Board President, former congressional candidate, a graduate of Harvard. He's a man about town, as they say. How are you, Alex?
Doing dynamite, Bill, and I'm curious when we're going to remote broadcast from Tahiti next.
Well, I probably should have made a couple calls now that I think about it, but I'll tell you, the next time we go away, I think I will actually call into the show, because I have a lot of people that do follow us, the show on Facebook, and people were very curious about how the trip was down in French Polynesia.
Oh,
and it was a very interesting trip. You had a couple of, I think you had, we can call them home runs, at the Arizona legislature this year as far as high technology is concerned.
Well, we did, and we were incredibly grateful for Governor Ducey and members of the Arizona House and Senate voting favorably on two vital pieces of legislation that together and all told will help advance the technology and innovation agenda for the state of Arizona.
I think this angel investment tax credit bill, you'd been trying before on this one, and this time you got it through, right? And what is that?
In a nutshell, it helps put monies off the sidelines and into incubation for new jobs, Bill, for technology advancement. It's designed for early stage companies, certified companies that are going through the early stage process of getting their promising technology to market, but are not yet quite bankable in the traditional sense. So you need risk capital readily available to do that. And what this legislation does is allows risk capital an incentive to get in the game. Individual investors that are certified get a 30% incentive on their state tax liability when they take a position investment in a certified early stage promising company. And you know, we've lost great companies to other regions, and we just cannot afford to do that. Plus, there's a secondary and perhaps a bigger impact of this is that more private equity firms, venture capital funds, resources out there see that the state of Arizona as a state is serious about helping incubate promising technologies and get them out to market faster.
How does it work for the company? They have to apply, I assume, for this,
they,
right?
There's a
whole process of this, Alex?
Yes, actually, not
a lot of red tape, I hope.
Not a lot of red tape. It works dynamite. And frankly, it's on the individual investor side of the house where the action steps occur, because they're the ones that submit for the state incentive on their taxes. So, but the key is that this is going to help accelerate economic growth, particularly in high-tech, high-wage jobs and companies that are very promising, in the global economy.
Another area you were working on the electronic billboards, because these electronic messaging centers, billboards, can be a big problem for some high-tech companies.
Yes, Arizona is a national treasure when it comes to the so-called dark skies.
Right.
We have incredible astronomy research and discovery that happens all across the state. And there are fantastic entities that, all told, represent over $250 million of annual economic activity related to dark skies. And the advent of technology and lighting, if you will, the electronic billboards that you see on the highways, has become a factor in what they consider in the astronomy sector as light pollution.
Mm-hmm.
So what we've done is we've helped, at the request of the former Arizona Optics Industry Association and the Arizona Physical Sciences organizations, we stepped in to help ameliorate the situation. And essentially, in this year's legislative session, we were able to work with both sides to craft a bill that allows for, I believe, 50 electronic billboards to go up specifically in the Mojave County area in Kingman. Mm-hmm. So think Las Vegas.
Right.
And yet protect the rest of the state from light encroachment, if you will.
Is there some limit then also on what kind of lighting powers, so to speak, they can do on these billboards?
Well, what's interesting is there hasn't been any national or state standards that
illumination
are,
levels is what I'm trying to say.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. What the community, the astronomy community, asked is to use specific lighting that helps ameliorate the amount of light that's radiated into the skies. So specific lighting, but they look at lumens and the percentage of lumens that are released from each of the individual electronic billboards. So all told, it's a good story for Arizona because both sides were able to come to an agreement that the Arizona House and Senate passed and Governor Ducey signed.
Is your association growing?
We are growing.
Arizona Tech Council.
Yes, we are. Our membership is up. Our renewals are up. The amount of turnout at our events continues to grow every event. We just held a big event at the town of Sahuarita featuring airborne and waterborne drones, essentially these great technologies that were showcased at Rancho Sahuarita at the town lake there. And it just demonstrates the power and potential of what technology is doing in our region. So yes, we are growing, we're having a big impact, and as a matter of fact, going forward, we're trying to impact the region's economy with better jobs and so forth.
And you have one of your big events is in October, right?
It is. This is something.
Seems like a long way away, but before you know it, it'll be here.
Oh, boy. It comes fast and furious,
yes.
Bill. We started this five years ago now, and it's like the little engine that could. I'm enormously proud of the Southern Arizona Tech and Business Expo, and encourage all our listeners to join us that day. It will give Tucson and our region and state an opportunity to showcase the technologies and the new product launches and all the promising opportunities that this sector boasts. Caterpillar will be our keynote speaker and lay out their technology roadmap for all the growth that they're experiencing now that they landed here in a promising way. Dr. Robbins, the new president of the University of Arizona, has confirmed to not only attend but to be one of our speakers at the Tech Expo. We're very thrilled about that with a partnership with him and Pima Community College for Workforce Advancement and Development. Raytheon is going to play a role as well in terms of talent showcase. You know, they're trying to fill over 2,000 new high-tech, high-wage-paying jobs out in the Raytheon.
Yes. Yeah.
And we're hoping to help that company specifically by showcasing the best of Tucson and the state of Arizona for future candidates for Raytheon and other high-tech companies.
That's going to be Wednesday, October 25th. What will the venue be? Where will you be?
We're thrilled to be back in at the Tucson Convention Center, in part to support all the action and great growth in downtown Tucson, and also because we just simply outgrew all the other areas for the last 4 years.
Which is a good thing.
It's, you know, we're honored to be able to serve this increasingly important piece of Arizona's economy.
And I do want to go over real quickly, Alex Rodriguez, you have a very diverse membership base, and I wonder if we could talk just briefly. You've got aerospace, aviation and defense,
yes.
Commercial space technology, like our friend who's going to be on the show here very soon, CEO Jim Cantrell Vector Space Systems.
Yes.
Then you've got, of course, healthcare, biosciences, high tech, contract manufacturing, information, mining is covered.
Yes, mining technology, semiconductors.
Optics,
photonics, and astronomy.
So optics used to have their own group. Did they kind of merge with you?
They did. And, okay. Bob Rowe was the father of creating optics clusters around the world from here from Tucson.
Right.
In fact, we were known as the Optics Valley.
Yeah.
And recently, last year, we merged the now former Optics Industry Association into Optics Valley under the auspices of the Arizona Technology Council.
Because I remember when Mayor Walkup had a greeting at the airport.
That's right.
When you came arriving. Welcome to Optics Valley.
That's exactly
All right. Alex Rodriguez, sounds like things are going very well. You had those wins at the legislature. You're looking forward to your October 25th event. So this is an industry that really is a job creator, isn't it?
Absolutely job creator. And over the course of the next decade or two, it's going to be ecstatic to look back and see where Tucson is at, given what is happening today.
All right. Alex Rodriguez has very impressive portfolio. And when I was introducing you, I should have mentioned also you had some impressive Army credentials, right? You did.
Well, I was honored to serve, Bill,
yes.
like many others
yes.
in Tucson and Arizona. And
as an officer. Yeah,
I was an Army captain, in
yeah,
fact.
Yeah, there you go.
Army captain. In Bosnia.
Well, thank you very much for your service. Thanks, Alex.
My
Good
privilege,
to see you.
And thank you.
Coming up this afternoon, everybody's talking about the weather. Jeff Beamish from Channel 4 is going to be the guest on Mic Check with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen. They certainly will have no trouble filling the hour talking about what seems to be on everybody's mind. All right, coming up tomorrow, Wake Up Tucson 6 to 9, then the Buckmaster Show. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about the Arizona Department of Transportation. They've laid out a five-year plan with the jobs, that road jobs they've got planned, including I-10, some work there. So we'll hear about that tomorrow. Bill Buckmaster, Ray Allen saying have a great afternoon and evening. Stay cool.